What a blessing it is to be able to come and meet together with you around the precious Word of God by the Holy Spirit. We're so thankful that the Lord has enabled us to put these messages out, that you can obtain them whenever and wherever is convenient for you by the Holy Spirit. We invite you, if you can, to turn in your Bibles to the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew. Our lesson is going to be out of verse number 18. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And that word power is the word authority. So we want to look at the subject of all authority. Now, you say, well, if we're going to study this, you're probably going to start reading in Matthew 28:18. No. Nope. We're going to start reading in Matthew 28:11. I want you to see what goes on prior to Jesus saying, all authority is given me in heaven and in earth. The ladies have gone to the sepulchre on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, and so forth. It says in verse 1, on the first day of the week, to the tomb where Jesus was. And the angels say in verse number 6, He is not here, He is risen. Now, the basis of your salvation and the basis of Christian principles and ministries and the gospel is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He says, if Christ be not risen, your faith is in vain and our preaching is in vain. We don't have anything unless Jesus rose from the dead. What's your point, preacher? Well, let's begin reading with verse number 11 and you'll see. The ladies had been to the tomb and the angel said, he's not here. And, go tell the disciples that he'll meet them later. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee and there shall they see me. They saw the Lord Jesus in verse number 9. Now, verse number 11, Matthew 28:11. Now, when they were going, when the ladies were going, and by the way, it was women that was the first missionaries. They were sent by Jesus to go tell the disciples that he had risen. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch, that is the Roman soldiers that were assigned to the tomb to guard it, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. So these guys were missionaries too. They went and told the chief priest that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. And when they were assembled with the elders, when the chief priests were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, this is what we want you to say. It's a lie, but we want you to say it. And how did they get them to say it? Large sums of money. That's going on in Washington today. That's going on in America today. That's going on in businesses today. You know, don't tell them that we failed the test that we were supposed to pass, that our products are not up to snuff, you know. They're not according to what it's supposed to be. Here's large sums of money, because if you tell them what the truth is, we'll lose our business. Here we go. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. That's one of the dumbest lies you ever heard. How in the world can the disciples come in and move that big old stone and take the body out and get the Lord Jesus Christ away with that large group of Roman soldiers guarding it? How can all of those Roman soldiers be asleep and be so soundly asleep that not even one of them would wake up while all those disciples were stealing away his body? Well, it worked. The devil is the father of the lie, John 8:44. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. It was a It was a death sentence if you were caught asleep in the Roman army while you're supposed to be on guard duty. They said, we'll protect you. We'll get the governor and tell him everything's okay. So take the money, tell the lie, and we'll take care of you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Matthew was written, the book of Matthew was written some 70 to 90 years after the Lord Jesus Christ had resurrected. And it was still going on. It was such a good lie. It was a stupid lie. And lies usually are, and people are gullible. They don't think about it. They just swallow the whole thing down. It is commonly reported unto this day. Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples, because Judas wasn't there anymore, went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Why would they doubt? Well, the Corinthian letter tells us that henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet know we him no more. Now he's going to be a spiritual man, and he's not to be known by physical sight. So some doubted, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, all authority, here's our lesson, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. What for? You are to go in the awareness of my absolute authority. But wait a minute. How are we going to deal with this lie that's been put out by the chief priests and the scribes and Pharisees? You're just going to have to preach the gospel. Friend, the only deterrent you have against the lies of the devil is the truth of God. We're not called to debate. We're called to declare. Just keep on preaching. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. I don't care if the chief priests and scribes and all the high muckety mucks in religion and plus all the high muckety mucks in the Roman authority and Roman government is all agreeing to this lie. Just preach the word of God. And it's right here that Jesus says, all authority is given me in heaven and in earth. Well, that authority, that power belongs only to God Almighty. Yes, you're right. So the Lord Jesus Christ was telling them, I and the Father are one. I am God Almighty. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So what he's telling them is, I'm not going to do anything about that lie. You say if all authority is given him in heaven and in earth, and not if, yes, it was, then why didn't he do something about that lie? Same reason he doesn't do anything about all the lies the devil's telling on him today. Listen, dear soul, the Lord Jesus Christ is sovereign over everything. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness in this world. He came to destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, that he might deliver us through fear of death, where all of our lifetime subject to bondage. But you say he didn't destroy the devil in a way of annihilating him. Right. That's the same reason that he didn't get rid of all the wild beasts, all of the Canaanites at one fell swoop in the promised land, because the Canaanites were necessary to keep the population of the wild beasts down, lest the wild beasts turned out to be worse enemies against Israel than the Canaanites were. God got them out a little at a time. God's not going to make your life perfect. And you can't then conclude that then God's not sovereign in everything. Yes, he is. Jesus Christ says, all authority is given me. And in case you wondered, in heaven and in earth. There's no other place. There was something that happened at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, it is finished. And listen, dear soul, it was finished. God was satisfied. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. My righteous servant shall justify many. It's done. And now God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name in this world and also in the worlds to come. So it is established. And this is the reason that it's so hard to get fundamental Bible-believing, so-called Christians, to believe that Jesus Christ is presently reigning Lord. I was astounded when God showed me that truth. It was the Holy Ghost that showed it to me. He showed me Hebrews chapter 11 and Hebrews chapter 1. I'll get it right in a minute. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 3. Who, the Lord Jesus Christ, being the brightness of the Father's glory, and being the express image of the Father's person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. Stop. I'm reading Hebrews 1:3. When did Jesus purge our sins? On Calvary. Now this verse says, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. When did Jesus sit down at the right hand of the majesty on high? That verse tells you, it gives you the timeline. When he had purged our sins, then he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. When Jesus Christ ascended back to heaven, as recorded in Acts chapter 1, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You can see that in Psalm 24. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and the King of glory shall come in. You can see that in Daniel chapter 7. I saw the Ancient of Days sit, and there was brought before him the Son of Man. And there was given him dominion and authority and glory. Dear soul, Jesus Christ began to reign at the time of his resurrection. But you say, well, wait a minute. These guys were lying on him. The lie took. And even though it was a stupid lie, and if anybody had given it any thought, they couldn't have believed it. That's because lies have the deception of the devil to go with it. There's a spirit of deception that goes with lies. So the Lord Jesus Christ left it alone. You can't say that Jesus Christ is not absolutely reigning Lord with all authority right now just because the devil is still able to carry out some of his lies upon a great number of the population of the people. I've often wondered, dear soul, why didn't God deal with this business of them bribing the soldiers to say he wasn't resurrected? Because if you'll understand it, the resurrection is the very central theme of the gospel. Again, if there be no resurrection, your faith is in vain. If there be no resurrection, our preaching is in vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, read it. So if the devil is able to go at the very core and heart and center of the gospel and put it in everybody's mind that Jesus didn't really rise from the dead, it was just these guys came and stole his body away, then Jesus then must not be the reigning Lord. Wrong conclusion. What you don't understand is the devil is God's servant. Now, I got a lot of preachers mad at me for preaching that, but I'm still preaching it. You know why? Because it's the truth. There's nobody, no creature in existence that is not under the sovereign, absolute authority of Jesus Christ, who himself is very God and is presently reigning, seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, and that from the very time of his death, burial, and resurrection and ascension. So you've got to understand this. Is there evil in the world? Oh, yes. I've never seen so much violence and vulgarity and evil and filthiness as there is in America today. All right, number two. Then, is God in control of everything? Yes. Then why does all this evil continue to go on? Because it is the Lord's purpose to help everybody that wants to go to hell to be able to get there. Well, I don't think anybody wants to go to hell. Well, they must, because they don't believe the gospel. The gospel has been preached in this nation for 246 years. That's what we celebrated this past 4th of July, Independence Day. 246 years of independence. Gospel's been preached all that time. How many Christians, really, sure enough, I mean absolute born-again believers, do you know? Be careful now. What you really know is church members. Then we understand and see that there are those who don't want to believe. He that believeth not is condemned already. That's what the Bible says, the last verse in John chapter 3. So just because there is a lot of ungodliness and there is a lot of that which is flying in the very face of Almighty God, and it is a lie that is so powerful that people can't even believe and see that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is very God and he is in control of all things. Well, if he's in control of all things, why is there such a mess? Because that's the way sin does. And God has not yet annihilated all sin. What are you talking about? It said, and let me read you a verse. Go with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Oh, here we go. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he talks about Christ's resurrection from the dead. And I'm looking for it while I'm trying to keep talking. And we understand and see that Jesus Christ is going to reign. He must reign till. Here it is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 24. Then cometh the end. When cometh the end? Verse number 23. At Christ's coming. At Christ's coming. That's the last part of verse number 23. All right, verse 24. 1 Corinthians 15, 24. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. He is ruling and reigning now as a mediator. Romans chapter 8 will tell you that both he and the Holy Spirit are interceding on behalf of the Christians. So he is reigning, and it says he will deliver up the kingdom to the Father when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. He's gradually doing that. You don't see it, but he's giving them, as it were, enough rope to hang themselves. They are acting against God. There are those who are saying publicly, there is no God, that we're not afraid to be atheists. One fellow said, I'm not afraid to be an atheist. I'm not afraid to burn in hell. I'm not going to burn in hell because there ain't no God. That's on your public television right now. But the Bible says in verse number 25 of 1 Corinthians 15, for he must reign till. wait a minute. It doesn't say, and most people think it does say, he shall begin reigning when such and such happens. That's not what it said. It said he must continually reign, and he will continually reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. He is putting all enemies under his feet. The devil is being given enough rope to hang himself. People are being given the opportunity to blaspheme God and to sin the unpardonable sin, which is unbelief. The Spirit of God has been brought upon America as the gospel is preached, and they blaspheme against the Holy Spirit by not believing the gospel and believing the message the Holy Spirit brings to them. That's the unpardonable sin. The only reason men and women and ghosts go to hell is because of unbelief. And so we see Jesus Christ is reigning, and he will reign till, you understand that? He must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. When shall death be destroyed? He hath destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, Hebrews 2:14. When shall death itself be destroyed? At the resurrection of Jesus Christ, at the end time, when the trumpet blows and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. That's the end of death. There will be no more death. There will be no more tears. There'll be no more sighing. There'll be no more crying. God is going to bring an end to death, but only as the last work of Jesus Christ, as he finishes out his present reign. He must reign till. Do you understand that? He's going to continue reigning until all enemies are put under his feet. Then what's going to happen with him? Well, he is being glorified now as mediatorial Lord. He mediates. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So he's sitting on a throne of mediation. But then when all sin is dealt with, that last enemy is dealt with, then he shall then be glorified higher than he ever was, and he shall become God all in all. That's what it says in verse number 28 of this same chapter. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, he's been reigning all this time, getting various things subdued unto him as he progresses on, letting the soldiers lie, letting religion bribe them, let them come at the very heart of the gospel, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, letting it happen so that they might be, so that he might be just when he judges them. He said, I'm not going to judge by hearsay. I don't need you to get up on the stand, raise your right hand, swear to tell the whole truth and say these guys lied. I'm God. I know what they did. I know their hearts. And I'm going to let them go on in their sin while I am at that same time bringing all God's elect on in my righteousness at one and the same time. The Lord knows how to deliver both the righteous to be glorified and the ungodly to be brought to damnation all at one and the same time. Verse 28, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be, watch out, you're going to have a hard time chewing on this passage, that God may be all in all. What does that mean? It's more glorious and more mysterious than anything I could ever imagine or think about. But, dear soul, it means that Jesus Christ is going to be higher exalted, more highly exalted at the end of all things being subdued unto him. When he has conquered the last enemy, which is death, by the second coming and the resurrection of all the dead bodies, some unto the resurrection of damnation and some to the resurrection of life, John chapter 5, then he shall be God all in all. That's why 1 John 3, 2 says, when we shall see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Well, how shall he be as he is? As he is what? As he is now, not mediator. He's taken those robes off as mediator, and now he sits as God all in all. What does that mean? You tell me. God all in all includes God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the church. The Holy Spirit is fully filling all of those. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the church. There's going to be a oneness. I'm getting off into something that it's not my message, but here I've already started it. Let me get into it. Father, I will that they may be one as we are one. Are you going to heaven just to get out of paying income tax? Are you going to heaven just so your granny won't die of cancer anymore? Are you going to heaven just so you can get out of all hardships and anxieties and trials? Dear soul, there's a whole lot more than that. Jesus Christ has already prayed, and you'll find it recorded in John 17. Father, I will that they whom thou hast chosen, that you've given me, and I've not lost a one, that they may be one with us. How? As I am one in you. There is going to be a recovering of the human race. God made Adam to have dominion over everything and to represent God as if Adam himself were God. He represented everything that God was. He stood in God's stead, dominion over the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea. Satan came and robbed him of that. Jesus Christ came and robbed Satan of that. Took that scepter away from him and destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil, Hebrews 2:14. And deliver them, Hebrews 2:15. That's what he did at the cross. And now he's letting things play out. And I will read you in a minute and give you some more understanding in that. Letting everything play out. Letting the lies stand. Letting the enemies and the blasphemers and the hypocrites go on with their lives so that they might be brought to a full and just damnation. I'm not going to judge by hearsay. I'm not going to judge by hearsay. I swear, tell truth, hold. We don't need you to do that. We don't need an eyewitness. God knows their hearts. God knows them. He is going to rule over them with a righteous judgment and bring them to their proper end because they sinned in the very face of Almighty God. This will I do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger barns. And I'll say to my soul, eat, drink, and be merry, you know, because you take thine ease. And God said, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. I heard that. I saw what you're doing. You're selfish. You did not give to them that had need. When saw we thee in hunger? When you built bigger barns and you decided to hoard it up for yourself and not give it to other people. I don't guess I'll ever get this picture out of my mind walking down the aisles of the grocery store when the pandemic of COVID-19 started and the suppliers couldn't keep up with the demand because of what? Hoarding. People grabbing and pushing for toilet paper. What? Not gold or silver, but toilet paper, for heaven's sakes. If that doesn't tell you how covetous and greedy human beings are, I don't know whatever will. And I'll never get that picture out of my mind, turning down the aisle where the toilet paper was, just, you know, innocently walking along, just going to restock our supply. The poor guy that was rolling the toilet paper out on the float from the back room, the storage room from the grocery store, almost got tore up. People grabbing at stuff before he could even open it up and put it on the shelf. I don't need to have anybody raise their right hand and, what'd you see this guy do? I judge righteous judgment. I know who got the money. I know what Roman soldiers lied. I know the chief priests and the scribes and Pharisees that gave them the money. And I know where the chief priests and scribes and Pharisees got the money to start with. They took that widow's mite and used it for their own selfishness. I will judge. So that which is in Matthew chapter 18, we begin reading in verse 11. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 28. We didn't just start with verse 18, wherein our title lies. We started with verse 11, showing you what preceded that, and saying, he still said, all authority is given me in heaven and in earth. Wait a minute, these guys are lying on you. Don't make any difference. All authority is still given me in heaven and in earth. I have it. I am very God. I am Almighty God. I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What's God like? Look at me and you'll know. That's Jesus Christ. So we understand and see that the reason God has this passage beginning with verse 11 of Matthew 18 of the lies of the Roman soldiers and the bribes of the religious crowd, the reason that it's there to show you that God is in control of all things, even though you still have to deal with these kinds of people. Why is it that way? Because it's God's way. Dear soul, I'm going to tell you something. God's not going to save everybody without exception. Not everybody the preachers get up at the funerals and say, he was a good man, went to heaven. But that doesn't mean that God is deficient, and I hate to even use that term regarding God, in any manner of speaking. The devil is God's devil, and he is to play out that which God has intended him to do. Go to Romans chapter 9. The book of Romans chapter number 9. Listen. In Romans chapter 9, there was a fellow named Pharaoh. God gave him power. All authority is given me in heaven and in earth. What are you going to do with it? I'm going to give it to some people. Well, good. You gave it to Peter on Pentecost, but not just Christian people. Romans chapter 9, verse number 17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I, God, raised thee, Pharaoh, up. You say he was a bad egg. Yes, he was. He was cruel and unkind and mean and selfish. Yes, he was. But God raised him up. You cannot deny the absolute sovereignty of Jesus of Nazareth just because we have lying soldiers and bribing religionists. Dear soul, what's going on in America is horrible. People just desiring, and I don't understand it, just to mow down human beings. And that little baby walking down that street there in Highland Park, crying with blood splatter on her, and he shot down her mama and her daddy, and there she was, instantly an orphan, crying, didn't have anybody to help her. Most pitiful thing. And that's the essence of horrible satanic meanness. I can't think of the right word. Hatred and evil and vileness. But it happened. But that doesn't mean God's not in sovereign control. It doesn't mean that Jesus Christ is not reigning. Listen to this. Romans chapter 9, verse 17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up. Why? That I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout the earth. Why in the world are we over here in Jonesboro, Georgia, in the year 2022, talking about Pharaoh? Preacher, have you ever been to Egypt? No, and I don't want to go. Have you ever seen Pharaoh? No, and I don't care to. Well, what are you doing talking about him? Because of God's power. God said, I raised Pharaoh up all those thousands of years ago that my name might be declared throughout the whole earth, and I'm still doing it. Doing what? Declaring God's name to you throughout the whole earth in this particular time, at this particular place. It is an evidence of God's absolute power and authority. Verse 18. Therefore, because God will have his power to be known and his name to be declared throughout the whole earth, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. The Bible said Pharaoh's heart was hardened and he would not let the people of Israel go. And this says God hardened his heart. Sovereign control. Well, it seems like to me that God would soften his heart and made him, you know, desirous to help these people get out of bondage. No. You need to be careful, dear friend, in trying to judge and think how God ought to act in our own little human way. We're coming from a viewpoint of our comfort. God comes from a viewpoint of his glory. You need to be careful. Listen. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Well, your next question will be, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Oh, you're going to come up with those things, are you? Verse 20, nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power, there's that word, all power is given me in heaven and in earth, all authority, hath not the potter authority over the clay of the same lump of clay to make one vessel unto honor? And the lady said, oh, those are beautiful dishes. How did you make those? Well, we did this and that and the other and put them in a furnace and we painted them and we, you know, glazed them over. And oh, I love those beautiful dishes that the potter made. But wait a minute. He made one vessel unto honor and another to dishonor. But put that thing over on the side of the room. What is that? It's a spit tune. My husband's got that filthy habit of chewing tobacco. And so he spits in this. But that was the same lump of clay that he made your dishes out of, ma'am. Didn't he have the authority and the power to, out of one lump of clay, throw it down on the wheel, going to make something out of it? Well, we got too much for these dishes. Well, what are you going to do with the rest of it? Well, people are always asking me for spittoons. So I'm going to make something that the man can spit his tobacco juice in with the same lump of clay that I made her beautiful chinaware, her dishes, out of. You don't think that's bad? Listen. What if God, verse 22, willing to show his wrath? Now, folks, some little old gal flutters her eyes and her heart beats fast when she sees this little old boy. She just thinks he's great. She's just all in admiration and love for him. But wait a minute. Let's let her see him get angry. Let's let somebody scrape his car that he has been working on and polishing and put a scratch on it. What kind of person does he express himself to be in that anger? Well, I really was disappointed in him. All of that fluttering eyes that I had and acting like he was just the perfect thing in the world, when I saw how angry he got and how mean and cruel he was to that person who didn't mean to scratch his car. But when I saw that, I had a whole different outlook on him when I saw him in his wrath. Then God said, let me show you my wrath. My wrath is just as glorious and holy and without blemish as my mercy. I do not do anything in a vengeful, a mean, or spiteful way. But you know what? If I'm going to have mercy in wrath, I need an object of guilt. You can't have mercy to be shown unless you have an object of guilt. Mercy is only for the guilty. Therefore, we need the guilty to come forth that God can display his mercy upon. And do you want to see God in his wrath? And you will have to say, you know, Lord, that wrath was just. I don't see how you kept it back for so long. I don't see how you kept from squashing them like a bug, you know. He said, because it's a holy wrath. But I need Pharaoh to be raised up that I might show my wrath. Listen, verse 22. What if God, willing to show his wrath, listen, and to make his, watch out, here's that word, his power known. All power is given me in heaven and in earth. Well, let's see your power. Well, we're going to need objects of disobedience, objects of lies, objects of those things that God despises. Seven things God hates, and the top number one was a lying tongue. So God lets there be this passage beginning with Matthew 28:11 recorded before you get down to Matthew 28:18, and you see that these soldiers, because of covetousness and greed and the love of money is the root of all evil, these guys would be used by the devil because of their love for money to deny the very heart and soul of the gospel, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they're going to say, he didn't rise from the dead. All, ever how many was in the squadron of Roman soldiers, all of us fell asleep. There got to be one guy with insomnia in all that group. No, we all fell asleep. And they came and stole the body. Well, y'all must be heavy sleepers, because it'd take a lot of noise to get that stone to be removed and get that body out of there. So God allowed Matthew 28:11 all the way down to verse 17 to be written to show you the horribleness of sin before God then showed you the greatness and the glory of his sovereign power. By the way, Brother Mike Conrad taught a lesson on the absolute sovereignty of God just a few weeks back. You need to make sure you listen to that message. It is extremely good. He set forth how God is absolutely sovereign. I'm trying to show you that God, in his absolute sovereignty, bestows it upon people like these soldiers and the scribes and Pharisees and raising up Pharaoh, and how he uses that sovereignty, but it's not according to what we think it ought to be. Well, he ought to just make everything smooth for us since he's absolutely sovereign. No. It's not just your comfort he's involved with and he's concerned about. It is the display of his glory. What if God would show forth his wrath? What kind of wrath is it? Throwing a fit, getting mad and throwing his food up against the wall and gets mad. Ketchup runs down the wall like a baby, like a child, raging, silly little. That's not the way God is. Listen. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Do you know where those Roman soldiers are right now? Unless God showed mercy on any of them, they're in hell. Do you know where those scribes and Pharisees and chief priests are that lied to the governor and lied to the promoted this lie and provided the bribes for these soldiers? Unless God showed mercy on them, they're in hell right now. Those guys were fitted to destruction. Don't you worry about it. Just because you see all this ungodliness and evil and disruption of common decency in America doesn't mean that Jesus Christ is not on the throne. Don't you dare let the devil take him off the throne in your mind. You understand and know that, yes, the thing that I have that encourages me in such an hour as this, the thing that I have to encourage me in the annihilation of human beings that we're seeing in America today is that Jesus Christ is having his will and way. I don't understand it, but I understand this. Go ye therefore in all of that authority. God's in control. God's going to take care of it. The Roman soldiers didn't get by with it. The scribes and Pharisees didn't get by with it. The governor didn't get by with it. The devil is not going to get by with it. Listen, in the book of the Revelation, Chapter 20, the book of the Revelation, chapter 20, in verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That one that is called the devil used to be a glorious angel, an archangel, if you will, walked up and down among the stones of fire, among the glories of God. The Bible said that when he moved, it was like a symphony orchestra. There were pipes within his being so that as the wind of the Holy Spirit blew through him, there was music when he moved. Glorious being. But that was his problem. He saw how glorious he was, And he said the wrong thing. He said, I will be like the Most High God. And as soon as he said, I will, pew, that angel became the devil. Could God have stopped that? Absolutely. He's absolutely sovereign. Why did he not destroy that? Why did he not stop that? Because God was willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, so he endured with much long suffering that vessel of wrath fitted to destruction. Verse 23, Romans 9. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. You say, oh Lord, be merciful unto me. Why are you saying that? Because you're in a problem and in a situation that you can't solve. Oh God, have mercy on me, help me. Because you have sin that you can't deal with. Oh God, have mercy upon me. It's not my brother or my sister, oh Lord, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God, have mercy on me. God is enduring them with much long suffering, even though they are vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. They're in hell right now. The devil and the beast and the false prophet are going to go into the lake of fire, and death and hell are going to be cast in behind them. Don't you worry about it. And then in eternal glory, when we all come to our place of glorified state in the Lord Jesus Christ, when time shall be no more and we shall be filled with the fullness of the glory of God, then we'll see him as God all in all, and we'll understand. There was an old, you know, foot patting song that we used to sing back in what was called the Southern Gospel era. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And there's all, that's true. But right now, the just shall live by, what'd you say? Faith. And you need to have faith in God. I know what happened in Texas when those lawmen didn't come in and help those children, and they got shot down. And one little girl, bless her heart, had to reach over and get the blood off of one of her friends and put it on herself to keep herself from getting shot by that horrible creature. And I know that that little baby was walking down the street squalling and crying and helpless. And mama, daddy, both of them dead. The man shot them down for no reason, just to watch them die. I understand all that. But you can't let any of that bring you to the place of denying the absolute, eternal, glorious sovereignty of God Almighty. For he gave you this 28th chapter of the book of Matthew. Read the whole thing. And just preceding him saying that all authority is given me in heaven and in earth. There was the lying and the bribing and the cheating and the swearing from the foot soldier all the way up to the governor's mansion. Against what? The very essence and the core of the gospel, that if it did not exist like they said it didn't exist, your faith is in vain. If you throw away the absolute sovereignty of God and God showing you that they did everything they could to do away with the doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, without which you have no faith, and I have no preaching. Dear soul, you've got to understand and see God is in control and he still rules in the kingdom of men. I just looked at my watch. I'm amazed that our time is about gone. Let me finish this verse and then we're going to Daniel chapter 4. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destroy? He's enduring that mess. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Go to Daniel The book of Daniel, chapter number 4. The book of Daniel, chapter 4, and verse number 17. God changed the glorious Nebuchadnezzar, the head of gold, into an animal, and he staked him out on the White House lawn till he could learn who God was. I wish God would do that with our politicians. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 17. This matter is by the decree of the watchers. The heavenly beings bring forth this, and the demand by the word of the holy ones. Why? To the intent that the living may know that the Most High, capital H, that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basis of men. Just because there is seen the basis of men, B-A-S-E-S-T, just because they're seeing the basis of men involving in the affairs of man and it's having effect upon yours and my life does not mean that God is not sovereign. It means that God is sovereign and that he has set up over it the basis of men. God said, not many noble, not many mighty, not many glorious or called. That's not the word, but I can't think of the other word. But God has set up over it. God has chosen the foolish things and the base things and the things that are naught, yea, the things that are despised, that no flesh should glory in my presence. It's not that God is not sovereign in that all these things are happening. It's that God is sovereign and showing you that he is dealing with all of that. And it will bring forth the eternal purposes of Almighty God. Those things that God has predestinated, they are for his glory. And you need to put your hand over your mouth like I have had to learn to do with myself. Who art thou, O man, that replies against God? Yes. You don't think I knew that those soldiers were bribed and said that I did not rise from the dead? Yes, I knew that, but all authority is given me in heaven and in earth. I want you to know that. Get your mind off of that and do what I told you to and understand that you are go ye therefore in the awareness and consciousness and the courage that Jesus Christ is presently reigning Lord. Amen. God bless you. Pray for me. Pray for this message. Pray that God will send it forth. Pray that God will open the minds and the eyes and the hearts of his people in this present generation. God have mercy. We are so full of religious tradition, but so little of the knowledge of the glory of Jesus Christ. I'll pray for you. Amen.